It's Living the Bream with host of Fox News at Night, Shannon Bream.
All right, welcome to this week's Living the Bream podcast. And we are so excited because we're doing something different today. We're hearing from you, our social media followers, our viewers, letting you ask questions and hopefully giving you some answers and information that is helpful or entertaining in some way. And I'm very excited to have with me today my trusty partner in crime, Anna Willey, is with me. She is, you know, one of my favorite people in the world.
Hello.
Welcome, Anna. We work together here at Fox. I drafted her out of Liberty University, my undergrad, and hers. And by the way, not just your undergrad, because you're getting your master's, too.
This is true. A few weeks to go.
Are you super excited, like, to walk across the stage, to do the whole fancy master's program, all that?
I am excited. It was just a year ago I did undergrad, though, mm-hmm. So.
She's a typical overachiever. She was a college athlete playing volleyball, somehow graduated in 3 years, and then got her master's in 1 year.
And
she's working
with
me. So
there we go.
Kids, I don't know. We should spend this podcast asking you how you manage your time and get everything done, because that's the question
we've
got
enough questions for you.
So. All right. Well, I'm super excited to have Anna with me today, and hopefully you'll hear more of her as I can talk her into being on the podcast and doing other things. But she keeps me organized, whether we're in Tel Aviv or New York or California or wherever. She makes sure that Living the Bream happens, the show gets on the air, and I show up at the right airport when
that's
I'm supposed
true.
To.
We're a good team.
Yeah, we are. Okay, so we have asked people for serious, funny, personal, whatever. So we're going to answer a mix of those questions today.
All right. So to start off, we have a serious question from Twitter from Ton Donahue 13, who says, what proof does the U.S. have to suggest that Assad was behind the alleged gas attack in Syria this weekend?
It's a very good question. And first of all, I do apologize for my voice. It has been a rough week, but I am fighting back against the germs. That's a great question. And, you know, it's interesting because I've talked to some folks off the record, very high level here in D.C., who say, listen, we have eyes on the ground and on the air in Syria 24 hours a day. We know what planes take off. We watch them drop things. We know where they return. We know what they're doing. We match that with our intel that we have on the ground. And, you know, at this point, this individual who's not speaking on the record for the administration is convinced that what we saw last week was a gas attack by Syrian forces under Assad's command. Publicly, you've seen the Secretary of Defense say we're still working on this. I think that is probably the smart, prudent thing to do while they put together a formal case that they could make more publicly. France says it has proof. Now, we know inspectors are on their way there. They're supposed to be on the ground Saturday in Syria. They're supposed to be facilitated and helped by the Syrian government, which raises a lot of skepticism among folks who aren't sure who carried out this attack or they have questions about it, knowing that the Syrian government is going to facilitate their access to people, to places, to soil, to things that they can test. But I can tell you off the record, there are high-level U.S. folks who are convinced that's what happened. You see some of our allies publicly saying, including France, and I think you'll probably get a more definitive statement from the U.S. publicly on the record soon, too.
All right. We're going to switch a little bit to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And Joe Soren 06 said, do you miss the judicial beat?
Well, Anna, as you know, I still do the judicial beat. It makes for some long days and long nights. So I'm not over there on a daily basis, but I wasn't as a correspondent either. We go for the big cases as they come up. And in June, it'll be obviously very busy because I'll be there on the days when they're handing out opinions and we see what we're getting back. So it's been interesting to juggle. And we have a couple more cases coming up that I'll be juggling this month where I go in for the 10 a.m. arguments, try to cover them during the day, and then stick around and do the 11 p.m. show.
So Gordon Fink on Twitter wants to know what Supreme Court cases you're tracking right now.
So we are waiting big decisions, you know, in a couple of cases that have already been argued. The Masterpiece Cake case, which is the Colorado baker who says because of his Christian beliefs and his work as an artist, he doesn't want to do custom pieces for same-sex marriages because it violates his religious beliefs. The same-sex couple there says it's discriminatory and it's legalized discrimination if he doesn't have to work with them on this product. So we're waiting on that case. It'll be very interesting to see. Also a big union case involving a teacher in California, so a member of a public employee union, whether or not you can force those employees to join the union or instead of joining the union, actually have to pay dues. This guy says, I don't agree with all their political messages. I don't want to have to contribute to that. So unions are watching that and employers, public and private, very closely to see the ramifications. If it could take away the ability of unions to force people to pay into their coffers, whether they agree with their political messages or not, could impact membership. I mean, that's a real question that we have. Now, a couple of cases they're still going to hear, and there are many out there, but they're going to hear a case involving Wayfair. If you like stuff, for your house.
Wayfair, Anna, you got just what I need.
See, she sings too and probably has ordered on there. I have too. But it brings up this question about whether internet companies have to pay taxes in all states and some states, how it works. It could affect Amazon and everything else out there. They're going to hear that one next week. And then we also have several gerrymandering cases they've heard or going to hear. And obviously, Travel Ban 3.0 is coming on April 25th. And a big deal today, the Supreme Court said for the first time in a few years, they're going to release same-day audio. So we go into the courtroom. Anna was in there for the first time this week. It's not very big, is it?
No, it's pretty small.
So, you know, people complain that there aren't TV cameras and more people can't get in there. We do our best to bring you the blow-by-blow of exactly what happens during these arguments, but the audio is usually delayed a few days. So this time they're going to release it that day on the Travel Ban 3.0 case. So big news from the Supreme Court today. That's April 25th that you'll be able to hear the arguments the same day. The president, the White House, they feel very confident that this travel ban has now been modified and tailored enough that it will be upheld. The court won't make a case, or they won't make a decision that day, but all the decisions will come by the end of June.
Yeah, that'll be exciting and crazy time for us.
Mm-hmm.
We're ready. Danny, along the same lines, Danny R. 415 asked, who is the next Supreme Court justice to retire?
Well, everybody expects that it would be Justice Anthony Kennedy. He's over 80 now, and there was a lot of noise last year about him possibly stepping down. And a lot of people say he wanted to stick around because he and Justice Gorsuch, the newest justice, are the first team where a sitting justice and a former clerk actually served together on the bench as justices at the same time. So, the rumors are ramping up again. He has hired clerks moving forward. These guys like us to be the last to know. They'll tell the president. They'll let them know. But we're standing by definitely closely watching him. I don't think anybody else is leaning towards retirement. Everybody seems healthy enough to stick around on the bench. They've hired clerks moving forward. But, you know, there's a surprise once in a while.
You don't know till you know.
Yeah, and health, you can't predict that. We all want to be healthier than we are, especially me right now. But obviously we're keeping a very close eye on any hints from Justice Kennedy. But I think, you know, it's a 50-50 chance he goes this year.
All right. So changing topics, conservative crap from Twitter asked, how hard is it to fight to produce an objective, unbiased show like yours, an environment, cable news in general, not just Fox News Channel, that rewards tribal-oriented content?
Yeah, that's really, really tricky because our mission at the 11 o'clock show is to be straight news. And for some people, it's confusing because the 3 hours before us are opinion-driven. Tucker, Sean, and Laura have fantastic, interesting, often very fiery shows, hot debates and issues of the day. And that's not what we do. Not that we're not going to have different viewpoints. We do have debates on the show, but what we do for you is straight down the middle, tell you both sides of the story, the facts, multiple sides of the story if there are them. We don't take sides, though. We don't advocate for the president. We don't advocate against the president or anyone else that we're reporting on. So it's interesting because viewers, I can sense, get frustrated sometimes. They've watched 3 hours of something very different, and I think making the turn for them sometimes is a little tricky because they'll say, well, why are you beating up the president about something? And we're like, we're not. We're just reporting what happened today, either court documents or a new development in the Mueller case or whatever it is. So we're not taking sides. We think it's very important as a straight news show. That's what we do from 11 to 12 every night Eastern. And we don't have trouble producing it. I think sometimes people have a trouble understanding that it's something different than what they've seen the 3 hours before. And there's a different purpose. And our opinion division is super strong and popular and has millions of viewers and very much serves a very important niche. And we're doing something different on the news side, but we all complement each other.
Absolutely. And you don't always make everyone happy, but I feel like that means you're doing it right.
Right. When we're getting heat from both sides, where people are
exactly.
like, you're, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid and defending the president, or why aren't you defending the president?
Exactly.
We think, okay, well, they're both watching the same show. So,
Okay, one more serious question before we move into more personal and fun questions. But Rebecca Hollum from Facebook wants to know what your thoughts are regarding term limits for Congress and Senate.
Well, I rarely give my opinion on anything because when we're covering people, I don't want to weigh in on stories. But this is something just as an American citizen. It's not constitutional, but it could be. I mean, you could pass an amendment. You can pass laws. You can do those kinds of things. Are the people who are currently sitting in Congress going to pass this law? That's where it gets real tricky with term limits. Now, there are other ways to do amendments. You know, there are all kinds of very difficult paths to getting that done. They're limited. But I personally, the more that I've covered Washington, have become more and more a fan of the idea of term limits. I could be convinced.
Convinced. Wow. Shannon Bream. Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. Heard it here first. Okay. So now we're going to get to some personal questions. So these are going to kind of go real quick. You got short, quick answers.
Are you going to protect me? Have you vetted these? Are there any embarrassing questions?
I've vetted a little bit. I might have a few that you don't know are coming.
Okay.
Okay. Steven Lentz from Facebook wants to know, are you broadcasted live or recorded earlier?
We are live every night, and that was one of the mandates of the show when we were putting it together with the bosses. They said, listen, it's important to us that this is a live show every night because news is a 24-hour cycle now. It doesn't shut down at 6 o'clock or 7. And there have been many nights, you know, Anna, when we're preparing for the show and something drops at 9, 10 o'clock, often on Friday nights, mm-hmm. and we have to scrap the whole show. Or if there is, unfortunately, a terror attack or shooting or something that's developing, sometimes we stay on past midnight, too. So we are live. Once in a while, we do pre-record an interview. If it's dated by the time we get to 11 o'clock, it doesn't air. But rarely we do that. But overall, the entire show, we're there live.
Tonight's Friday.
I know, and we've already
Friday the 13th too,
right? And we've already got news dropping that's kind of throwing us for a loop, but that's good. We like to have a good newsy Friday.
True. All right, next, Joshua Cellular from Twitter wants to know, what do you honestly think of Twitter?
You know what? I do think it's a very evil place in many ways, but there are good, wonderful people there too. And I learned this firsthand a few weeks ago when we had this situation with Emilio, this little boy who was dying. I sat next to his uncle on a flight a few weeks ago, and we had a conversation, exchange cards, maybe one or two emails about restaurant recommendations, and I hadn't thought about it again. And then he, a few weeks ago on a Sunday afternoon, contacted me and said, I know this is a long shot. There's an Avengers movie coming out. They may be doing press. Do you know anyone in Hollywood, any of these Avenger people? My nephew, Emilio, was dying, and he'd love to get a greeting from one of them. And I thought, I don't know any Hollywood people. Anna knows this story. If you follow me on Twitter, you know this story that morning in church, our pastor had talked about asking and praying for things that are so big, you can't get the credit for it because it's really only something that could happen with God's intervention. And I thought about that, and I sent out a tweet and said, does anybody know Avengers? We need help for Emilio. And over the next 3 days, we were amazed by 35,000, 36,000 retweets. A number of these celebrities reached out, sent videos either directly to me to send to Emilio's family or to his family. I connected them, and he was able to see a number of them before he passed away on Wednesday. So it restored my faith in Twitter.
Twitter, and then to see all the news organizations take the story and want to share it and put it on air shows like people are desperate for good stories.
Exactly.
And that there are good people, good stories still in the world to be covered.
Right, and people need some good news.
Absolutely.
And we got it that week.
We
Thanks
did.
To Twitter. Thanks to all of you, because many of you retweeted it and got it out there.
Also has its downside, but we're just going to stay on a positive note.
That's what the mute button's for.
Okay, so from Michael J713 on Twitter, he wants to know, what is your favorite New Testament book and why?
That's a good one. I love Philippians. I think it's so encouraging. There's a lot of good encouragement in there. Colossians as well. I think, though, for me, 2 Corinthians has been really personal to me because where Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh and asking God to take this thing that was, you know, and there's a debate over whether it was a physical thing, an emotional thing, but it's something that he really struggled with and begged God to take from him and realized eventually God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul went on to talk about how he boasted in his weakness and hardship because that's where he found out he was the strongest. And I think that has been so real in my life in so many different ways. So I got to go with 2 Corinthians. Does anyone say Revelation? Because that's really hard. If that's your favorite one, tweet us back so you can help explain every verse to us.
Well, I know a lot of people have been praying for your eyes.
Yeah.
So just to give a little update on that.
Yes. I mean, I just hit the 6-month anniversary of the surgery that I had last fall. And we weren't sure if it would work or not, but it is kind of the best hope for the underlying issue that I have because there's no cure. And you guys know for 3 months, I really, really struggled with a deep, dark, horrible place because I was in so much pain. My vision was not good. It didn't return as they expected. And I felt really vulnerable and helpless. And again, I learned lessons through that, having to lean on other people and lean on God and trust Him. But I am happy to report I basically got the eyes of an eagle now. Well, one of them, because
2020
vision. Well, because I got my 6-month checkup this week, and my doctor who's been treating me for years with this genetic condition I have says it's the best my eyes have looked in all the years he's been treating me, and my vision has returned better than before. And so I'm super grateful for all the prayers and just really, really grateful for the healing.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nan Kimbrough, K.A. from Twitter, wants to know, who encouraged you the most to get to where you are today?
You know what? Probably the guy who fired me. You know the story. He told me my first reporting job, he was like, because I was a lawyer and I started working as a, you know, working at a station. I was like working the prompter and making the coffee. They finally, I wore them down. They let me start going out and doing some reporting. And I was really finding, you know, my voice and figuring out how to do this. And I probably was terrible. I mean, Anna, you came out of college probably with like an awesome resume tape, 20 times better than what I was doing then. And I, he fired me and said I was the worst person he'd ever seen on TV and I would never make it in this business and I should go back to being a lawyer. And after I cried for hours and hours in the soundproof edit bay, I got my life together. But my husband has always said too, you know, he kicked you out of the nest and made you decide whether you were really serious about doing this and whether you could admit that you needed a lot of work and you needed to get better. And you needed to focus on being realistic about all the improvements you needed to make and where you were going to go.
I wonder if he sees you today and hears a story and is like, okay, I get it, Shannon. Stop telling the story.
I know.
I'm the one.
I always tell the story, but I've never used his name. And people have asked many, many times. So he knows who he is. And I don't have any ill will. I don't. It was what I needed. That's right. Why I ended up where I am now.
Totally. Okay. Lauren in 72093467, quite the username.
Oh, my.
Ask what your favorite vacation is.
You know me. If I'm going to the beach, I'm happy. Really happy going to the beach. So I don't know, but I feel like that's lazy. Like I should say, oh, no, I did love Paris. I mean, I do love going to museums and doing stuff like that and learning other languages and having different culture and that kind of thing. But really, as much as we work, I like to just go
relax,
lay on the
take
beach.
A book.
I do. I take several books.
That is the next question. Mark Holmes wants to know, what's the last book you read and what's your favorite book of all time?
I start books all the time. Sometimes I finish them. But you know, on my last vacation, I took Joel Rosenberg. I love, love, love Joel Rosenberg. If you haven't read his stuff, you'd really enjoy it. He writes fiction and nonfiction. His fiction stuff is so engrossing, though, when you get into it. His last one I read was The Kremlin Conspiracy. Mm-hmm. So good and so timely. A really quick read. I mean, I got through it in like 2 or 3 days. It's just, he's such a great writer and he uses current events and you just get sucked into the story. So that's the last one that I got through on vacation. I mean, obviously the Bible is where I'm going to spend most of my time reading and where I'm going to say my life is, you know, centered in that. But I love anything by Jane Austen. There's a great book I read about the Rwandan genocide a few years called Left to Tell, about a woman who miraculously survived. Her whole family was killed. That book was fantastic and amazing and will teach you so much. I also love this book that was made into a movie, Same Kind of Different as Me. Mm. It's a real story. I don't know if you've read
it. I've
heard
of it. It's one of my dad's all-time favorites.
It is so good. And now I'm reading the book that your dad recommended to me, which is the original Hamilton book. It's about 800 pages. I'm maybe like 75 in.
That one will take a while, but hey.
Yeah, that one will take a
while. Next vacation.
Yep.
Okay. Latino12 asks, what is one of your pet peeves?
Anything slow. I have to work on
my... Don't go to fast food restaurants in the South.
My patience is really bad, and I do try to work on it, but if I get behind people who are not driving the speed limit, I'm like, not even the speed limit? Come on, let's go. My husband will tell you, I even walking, and this, when we were living in New York most of last year, I dubbed it SWS, slow walker syndrome, because even on the street, like, people, we got places to go, and the streets in New York are jam-packed, and when you get behind somebody that's going slow, it makes me crazy.
I think it makes a lot of people crazy.
That says me. I'm impatient, and then that exposes something I need
to
work on.
Places to go, people to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, these are the fun, personal ones to wrap it up. We've got about 5 good ones for you.
Okay.
80s music. Everybody knows you love 80s music. Friday Night Dance Party. If
yep.
you don't see it on Instagram and Twitter, you should tune in.
Check it out. Because
it's a party.
And that's Anna's handiwork.
I do some recording for that.
She's taught me boomerangs and all kinds of stuff. And apparently, I'm not supposed to write on my pictures that I post on Instagram.
Do make fun of you a little bit for that.
But I count on you to help
me,
not to me. Well, listen, so you can't write on the pictures that you post.
You can write on the story.
You can write on the story.
Right.
I don't understand why there's a story and there's a regular posting place.
We're working on our Instagram game, people.
I don't understand, though.
It is getting there.
Why are there 2 different things?
It's just how it is.
Is the story always video or is it sometimes a still picture?
Pictures,
it's still pictures.
Boomerangs.
So why is that different than the
just... Because it's just on for 24 hours. So if you don't really want to have it on your profile or keep it there long term, you can just do fun
sense.
Little
So snippets. I can write on the stuff that disappears. I cannot write on the permanent.
Yes.
Okay, I'm learning.
You
learning.
Are. Okay, so Robert's Justice wants to know, could you explain why you like 80s music so much?
Wait a minute. Could that secretly be Chief Justice Roberts? Maybe that's his secret. Is that Twitter or
if
Facebook?
If it is, we just exposed him.
Okay. I think because like a lot of people like the music from their teenage and high school years because it was such a happy, carefree thing. No mortgage. Yes, there were terrorists in the world. I just didn't read about them every day. And I was having a good time. Life was very carefree, even though when you're a teenager, you think everything is the end of the world. And I'm sure I had plenty of that drama. I just think of those songs. The 80s music is very bubbly and happy, most of it. And it just brings back really good memories. So I think I go back to high school in my mind when I listen to it. And I love it.
I'm learning the 80s music.
I don't need to drag you down into the 80s because you've got your own, you've got your own decade.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got three quick questions about Mr. Bream.
Ooh.
So Will Bill Hitchcock says, do you ever regret marrying a trophy husband?
I did buy him a t-shirt that I found when we were on vacation at the beach that said trophy husband.
And he probably never wears it.
He doesn't. I have to make him once in a while because I think it's so funny. I love it. I think that it's great. He is the perfect match for me. We always say we're not perfect, but we're perfect for each other. Where I'm so crazy and dreamer and emotional, he's super, super steady. You know that about him. Like he's a planner and he makes sure that we have like money in the bank. I'm not just spending everything we have. Like he's the planner and he is the solid rock of the family, but he's also very funny. He's everything that I'm not. I mean, he's super athletic and sporty, and I've learned so much from him, and I think he's learned so much from me just about different politics and different things. And so we complement each other, and I do not regret marrying a trophy husband.
But you can beat him in Trivial Pursuit.
I can beat him in Trivial Pursuit.
He might have you athletically, but...
Listen, the Bream family are all monster world-class athletes. And so anything they do from, you know, cornhole to electric frisbee to baseball, whatever they do, I just sort of don't want to get involved with that because I'm going to look stupid. Like we talked about the other day, I don't enjoy doing things I'm bad at. And so then when we decide to play Trivial Pursuit, it's me against the whole entire Bream family.
And you beat everyone, and it works.
I don't know.
Okay. Jay Alvarado 2 says, how long ago did you meet Mr. Bream? And Warm Sand 10 wants to know how long you've been married.
Oh, my gosh. We met in college. We were both dating other people, and we had friends who kept
ring
saying...
Ring by spring?
No, no. Because we had friends who kept saying, you guys need to break up with these other people. You would be right together. So we finally went on a date February of our senior year, and I knew we were graduating in May. I was already going to law school, so... I had no plans, but I had made my mind up. I was not getting emotionally involved with anyone. I was going to date like a guy. I was going to have free dinners and fun, and that was it. and, of course, that's when I fell in love with my husband, and we've been married for 22 years.
Okay, we've got one more fun question from morecowbell_USA.
I love more cowbell.
If you were stuck on an island, and you're married, so let's say with your hubs, you both could only have one DVD movie to watch over and over again. What would it be?
You know what? I could answer for him. I would say Caddyshack, but I think he's got it memorized. So he could like reenact it for us, like put on plays. So I don't know that he would need that. I feel like you'd need something uplifting. Because even though I really love, like, I think Saving Private Ryan is one of the best movies ever made, I don't know that I could watch that while I was stranded on a desert island. We both love Christmas Vacation and White Christmas. We watch those every Christmas.
Humor.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe something like The Matrix, because there's a lot to think about and digest in a movie like that. And so maybe something along those lines.
There you go. All right. Michael Lunsford said, where should Americans be getting their news? And you didn't want to answer that, but I can. And I can say
do it.
Fox News at Night with Shannon Bream.
Oh,
and
my
I feel
gosh.
Like we should say, like, most watched, most trusted, and most grateful you spent the last 20 minutes with us.
Exactly, because it's hashtag Living the Bream with Shannon and Anna today. Thank you guys for joining us. And Anna, let's do this again soon.
It was a blast.